Everybody, I'm Cam Stewart with your Fantasy Sports News Update. The Blazers are toast, but Dame is going to get paid. Damian Lillard would become eligible for a Supermax contract extension this summer. If he's named to one of all the NBA All-Star teams there, it's almost a lock that he will, and the Blazers are anticipating to oblige him. The two sides expected to come to terms on a four-year, $191 million Supermax extension. The point guard a lock for an All-NBA nod after averaging 25.8 and 6.9 assists in regular season action. Lillard, who turns 29 this summer, has 2 years and $62 million remaining on his existing contract with Portland. NBA playoff action tonight. Toronto playing host to Milwaukee, 8:30 tonight. The Bucks now laying 3 points, over under up to 217.5. Money line, Bucks minus 60, Raptors plus 40, Milwaukee up 2-1 in the series. Live series price odds, Bucks minus 600, Raps plus 400. Western Conference winner Golden State back to their fifth straight championship final. Their odds to win it all, minus 240. The New England Patriots veteran core isn't finished yet. The Patriots assigned receiver Julian Edelman to a two-year, $18 million contract extension that includes an $8 million signing bonus and $12 million guaranteed money. Fresh off that Super Bowl MVP honor, the 32-year-old receives a deal that will keep him in New England through the 2021 season. Edelman is a former college quarterback at Kent State and landed with New England as a seventh-round draft pick in 2009. He's one of the NFL's best slot receivers, catching 74 balls for 850 yards and six TDs, even after serving a four-game suspension to start the year. The Tampa Bay Bucks lost Gerard McCoy yesterday, but they're nearing a one-year deal with former Ram defensive tackle Ndamukong Suh. Selected as number two overall by the Detroit Lions in 2010, Suh has been a monster in his pro career. The 32-year-old starting 142 games over 9 years, recording 56 sacks, and he has three first-team All-Pro NFL nods. Josh Jones of the Green Bay Packers wants out. The safety is skipping voluntary off-season activities in hopes of being traded, this according to ESPN. Jones's future was thrown into question after the Pack acquired Adrian Amos from the rival Chicago Bears. The former second-round pick started only 5 games last year. And for the first time in more than 4 decades, the Buffalo Bills have issued O.J. Simpson's number 32 to another player. So far, running back Sonoris Perry, who joined the Bills in March after spending the last 2 seasons with Miami, has been wearing O.J.'s number 32 in off-season workouts. O.J. asked about it. He says he's got no issue with the Bills giving out his famous number. Simpson winning 4 rushing titles with the Buffalo Bills from 1969 to 1977. More bad news for the San Jose Sharks in Game 6 of the Western Final in the NHL playoffs tonight versus the Blues. S.J. Sharkey will be without All-Star defenseman Erik Karlsson, talented forward Thomas Hertl, he's also out, and leader of the team Joe Pavelski, a game-time decision. All of these guys totally banged up right now. They could be shorthanded. Blues laying 65 cents, total 5.5. St. Louis leads the best-of-seven series 3-2. They can lock up a trip to the Stanley Cup Final with a win tonight. The Bruins, they await the winner right now, and they are minus 150 live bets to win the Stanley Cup. We got 15 games on the MLB board tonight. Wow, early time, 6:10. Oakland at Cleveland, Tribe laying 30, total 8.5. Bassett versus Bauer, we got 14 more games at 7 p.m. and on. 3 at 7:05, we'll get to these ones. The Yankees, 265 at Baltimore, 9.5, Herman Cashner. Colorado, minus 25 at Philly. Marquez versus Archer. Good news in Philly, Coors Field rocked by snow midway through May. Crazy pictures we saw today. We got the Cubs taking on the Phillies. Cubs minus 147.5. Eflin and Quintana, 7:07 action. We got Boston minus 145 at Toronto, 8.5. Rodriguez and Stroman, 3 more at 7:10. Miami at Detroit, Pick'em, 7.5. Smith and Turnbull, the Dodgers, laying 40 cents at Tampa Bay. Kershaw and Wood. Washington at the Mets. New York, a buck 47.5. Beattie versus Wheeler, 7:40. We got Cincinnati and Milwaukee. Brew Crew, minus 149. Gray and Gonzalez, 8:05 action. Seattle and Texas. Rangers, minus a buck 30. Total, 11.5. Malone and Lynn, 8:10. Chicago at Houston. Astros, minus 370. Total, 8.5. Covey versus Verlander. Kansas City and St. Louis. Cards, minus 180. Interleague action, total 9. Bailey and Waka, 9:45 Atlanta, 15 cents at San Fran, Tehran and Anderson, total 8. Minnesota taking on the Angels, Halos, minus 120. We got this game total of 9. 10-10 action, Arizona, minus 115 at San Diego, the Padres. Total in this game, 7. Greinke versus Strom, should be a good one there. I'm Cam Stewart. Stay tuned as Gabe Morenci hosts Red Heat and Rage Radio, Long Island Rage. George Kurtz will drop by. Jeff Nadeau will have some laughs and break down the betting board as well. Pretty good night last night. Stick around, everybody. Hour one of Red Heat and Rage Radio coming up next.
All you have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to you.
Game time decisions.
All right, let's roll. Game time decisions. Has begun. I am Cable Moretz. He's from the Tower of Raging Redhead. Cam Stewart on this Tuesday afternoon, a sunny Tuesday afternoon in New York. It doesn't really matter what the weather in Toronto is today, as long as the Toronto Raptors get it done this evening. As they won in the rain on Sunday night, they look for another dramatic victory this evening to even the series up at two. Cam, the stakes are high, just as they are for the St. Louis Blues.
Yes.
As the St. Louis Blues, they don't want to be going back to San Jose and, you know, and dealing with the Sharks in a Game 7 setting, just as the Toronto Raptors can't be going back to Milwaukee down 3-1, and the Bucks don't want to be going back to Wisconsin tied at two.
You said it, man. I'll tell you something. The Blues, they could put an end to this right away. You saw the hearing the update. Carlson out for the Sharks. Hurdle out for the Sharks. Pavelski, game time decision. The Blues methodically beating these guys down. And San Jose knows, hey, they got to find a way to win tonight and get those guys healthy for Game 7. So the Blues, they're the Sharks smelling blood in the water right now, Gabe. The killer whales attacking SJ Sharkey. They got to go in there and eat them up tonight, or else there's going to be big problems.
Yeah, what's the guy's name from Jaws? Roy Schreider.
Roy Schreider. Is it Roy Schreider? Great name. Hey, Roy Schreider here. pretty normal name. Roy Schreider.
Jaws.
Very sunny here too, Gabe. But as a meteorologist and an update
Roy Schreider.
Fantasy sports. Roy Schreider. Very sunny.
Yeah, Roy Schreider.
They won in the rain on Sunday. I can tell you something. It is beautiful and hot today. Cooking my house is like 26 degrees in the townhome. That means it's real hot outside. I got the windows blasted and open and still sweating. Great conditions.
So basically, like the St. Louis Blues, they need to take like the propane tank or whatever the tank was.
Harpoon? Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, and a tank to blow the Sharks up. Hard to kill a shark, Cam. Hard to kill a shark. SJ Sharkey, it don't play around.
No, SJ Sharkey's teeth are very sharp, but I'll tell you something about the Blues' hypnotic notes. They make fish fall asleep. That's what they do. The Blues are going to play a note with the waves across the ocean. SJ Sharkey gets hypnotized, and then boom, in comes propane and harpoons. Bye-bye,
is
sharks.
Is a shark a fish?
Yeah, I think it's actually a mammal. I hate to.
I think it is a fish.
I consider it a fish, but it's really not, but.
Yeah, so fish has gills, right? Fish got gills. Mammals got, little blowholes.
Yeah, but sharks got gills. They don't got blowholes. Whales got blowholes. So I don't know if that's just that's the prerequisite. Yeah,
whales are mammals.
You're right, though. Gills are mostly on fish.
Yeah, if the fish has gills, then it's a fish. You know, if it has a blowhole, it's a mammal, baby.
He's an expert on gills and divorces, Frenzy. Blowholes, gills, and divorces. Come here, gang.
Settle down. What do you know? You're not even married. What do you know? Game time decisions continue.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Game time decisions. Ready, Heat Rage on radio. A Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Hi, I'm Gabriel Moretz. The Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart, with us. We've got a full show here today. Big Man on Campus will join us a little bit later on. Big Man on Campus. We've got Coach Nick, B-Ball Breakdown. We spoke to Coach Nick this morning. George Kurtz will step up and in a minute. I'm just scrolling through my phone right now on Twitter. Yeah. As it's easier to read off my phone than it is computer right now. Holy crap, how much scrolling do I have to do? Screw nice. Off. God, I hate modern technology.
So do I.
Yeah, scroll. It's like scroll, looking at Cam's golf bats. I got to keep scrolling.
Yeah, Gabe, it's only a 32-pack this week. I've really slowed down in that area.
Okay, so, and we'll bring Kurtz in a second. See, the good thing about this is I can, you know, you can magnify the picture and everything. I can, like, really get a feel for this. Otherwise, I'd really be squinting and leaning in here. So, it's the Electric Daisy Carnival. Do you know what the Electric Daisy Carnival is, Kim?
Sounds like a music festival, Gabe.
Yes, sir. The EDC. It's like a rave type of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Seriously, glow hot sticks. Chicks. Yeah.
Over under on knapsacks, 1.5 million. Over under on glow sticks, 2.5 million. Drugs, yeah. Prevalent.
Over under hits of ecstasy taken, 4.2 million.
I'll take the
Our boy
over.
Darsh likes this stuff. He's gone to this a few times.
Yeah, he's a different breed. Don't let his innocent looks fool you. He likes to creep around festivals.
So, yeah. So that's why I can't go to these things. There's just too much.
You're
too
a
much.
Creeper. It was crazy. I was actually watching
looking
some
at a bunch of 18-year-old chicks in bikinis and sparkles.
It's crazy, Gabe. I was watching this after the games last night. We did pretty well too. Congratulations on going perfect. It was a nice night. I taped my old 2020s in Dateline, and oh my God, the guy in the jury looked exactly like you, like dead ringer. He was from Brooklyn too. And he lied about some, like, testimony and stuff like that. And then the guy in jail's mom, like, tried to bang him to get information from him to go to the cops to say he tricked me. Yeah, he was getting, like, free weed from her and wine. What a story. Yeah, I think the guy's still in jail in New York there. But you look like juror number 8, man. He's from Brooklyn.
I like that juror number 8.
Juror number 8.
Of course, Elliot of the Cowboys got into it. And I'm sure that made George Kurtz happy. I don't know how you're a fan of this team, George.
Yeah.
You're such a straight guy. You don't drink. You don't smoke. You're a fan of a bunch of thugs.
I gotta tell you, man. If Twitter was around, or Instagram, if Facebook, if any of these social media sites were around in the '90s, with Michael Irvin, Mark Tuanay, and everything else was going on there, I don't know what would have happened to that team back then, because they were doing even more than what's going on here. Right. Elliot's just an idiot. I mean, I don't understand what these players don't realize. Everybody has a camera. Everybody has a camera. Everything you do is getting on film. I mean, and they keep making the same mistakes over and over again. It's, I think it's really, it's disappointing more than anything else.
All right, let's get
bottom line.
Let's get right into the important part of this. So, obviously, we talked a lot about the Atlanta Falcons and how cool Arthur Blank is and the business attitude and the model of charge people $1 for a Coke. $2 for a hot dog, whatever. Like, you go to an Atlanta Falcon game or an Atlanta soccer game, FC, like the hot dog, fries, and Coke combo is $4.99. A beer is like $4, $3, $4, whatever.
Excellent.
Like,
excellent.
Everything is sort of old school prices. They don't gouge you. He just doesn't lose money on it. He's basically just breaking even, But it's smart, because if you don't feel ripped off, you have goodwill towards the organization, and you also have more money in your pocket, then you'll buy an Atlanta Falcon hat on the way out, or a T-shirt, or more tickets, etc. So the EDC obviously is not the Atlanta Falcons. Yet we talk about expensive prices at games. What do you think? What do they do at the EDC? So, Cam. Let's get into some of the prices here. We'll see if George Kurtz, we know George is not paying these prices, because George Kurtz. We'll see what you say about this. So we'll start with you, George. How much do you think a bottle, have you bought a bottle of vodka in the last 20 years? Christmas holidays?
Not me personally.
Coming over?
But I've been with my wife when she's bought a bottle of vodka. My wife, likes her martinis and stuff like that.
Oh,
and,
yeah. There we go.
So I know I have an idea of
how
a price.
How much you think? So you can buy a full bottle. They have bottle service. You buy a full bottle here at the EDC festival. Kettle One, bottle of vodka, Cam.
The good
Kettle
stuff.
One.
What, bunch of kids what do you think they're charging? You should be having like the Prince Igor game. I don't know why they're going to the good stuff. Crazy. Yeah, what's your take?
Yeah, how much do you think a bottle of Kettle One goes for? Play the Price Is Right.
I have a funny feel. The answer here is going
to. I'm going to say almost $350.
Hey, Yang. $350. Okay, Yang.
$350.
Jeopardy music Jeopardy's good. Price Is Right. Just punch in Price Is Right theme song on YouTube. Okay, we'll get the Price Is Right going here.
Is it my guess?
Yang throws out $350. All right, hold on, Cam. We're waiting for the music here. Hopefully, we don't have to wait too long, Yang.
That's why I was going to give you the guess.
But getting divorced with this guy, it takes forever.
I know. Yang at divorce court. Dun, dun, dun. Dun, 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 dun.
There we go.
There you go. Great job. Hey. All right.
Good go, Yang.
Okay, contestant number one, Yang. Yang says $350 for a bottle of Kettle One. George, contestant number two from Long Island, New York. George, what you think a bottle of vodka?
Well, the way you're playing this up, man, I'm going higher. I'm gonna go 410. Higher than 350. 410.
I think they both shot over. I think they went over in the showcase game. I'm gonna say 240.
The actual price for a bottle of vodka at the EDC in Las Vegas this past weekend was $725.
That means George wins.
Holy. $725.
You could get bottle service all, like, think about it, Gabe. We've been to some, like, crazy clubs in the past when we had the
suits. You could buy a bottle of vodka and bang six hookers for this price.
Wow. $700.
All right, bottle of tequila. Don Julio. Gang, how much is a bottle of Don Julio?
But cutting one being 750, I'm going to say 800. I'm going to say 751.
That sounds exciting. Happy to be here, Bob. Damn. How much? Don Julio tequila. $650?
Yeah.
All right.
Cam's going 650 and 751. You know what? I'll play the game the way it should be played. I'll go a dollar, just in case they shot over. I think they're probably right, but I'll go a dollar. I'll take all the unders.
$1,300.
Oh, my
Jesus
God.
Jesus Christ.
Literally, all I've right. lost every showcase by 600 plus on two
okay,
guests.
Okay, now let's get something into for Cam here. This is more relatable.
Beer.
All right, so this is beer. You can't buy one beer. You got to buy sticks.
Okay, six beers?
How much is six Coronas?
Six Coronas, $150.
$80.
Oh, okay, so they're getting, that's where the value is with the beer.
The beer's the value.
Under $20 a beer, $50.
Yeah, it's like $14 a beer. It's not that bad compared to everything.
Yeah, actually, $15, $30, $45, $60, $75. Yeah, so it's $16 a beer. That's a good deal at this dump festival. What a
Red Bull, a six-pack of Red Bull, $70. Holy shit. How much, George, would be fair for six waters? Smart water.
All right, so we said it was $14 a beer. You said a couple of dollars less. I'll say $11 a bottle. Give me 66.
I'll say 75.
Yeah, good call, Cam. $75 for a six-pack of water.
Hey, nailed it. Oh, we're back.
He got it exactly. He wins everything.
Thank you, George. I need everything.
Champagne's like $2,000.
Honestly, God, is this where Ezekiel Elliott's hanging out at? He's got the point.
Yeah. Oh, wow. We'll tell you on the other side, they have the all day package. You get 12 bottles of rosé Dom Perignon. $25,000.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Thanks, Dad. Game time decision. And Heat Rage Radio. I'm David Morenci, thrown down to Remain Red at Cam Stewart. George Kurtz with us. Big Man on Campus will join us later. We've got Coach Nick. Me and Ranieri spoke to Coach Nick earlier this morning. Always good catching up with the coach. We talked some basketball. Quick NFL hit before we get into the hockey game tonight with Kurtz. And then at the 5 o'clock hours, the show goes on. Because Colonel Kurtz can break down this Blue Shark game. We can talk about the Yankees, maybe little Mets as well. But Colonel Kurtz will not be watching the Raptor-Buck game tonight. He'll be watching the hockey game tonight. So we'll get into the hockey. But before we do, I don't know if you guys saw this, but Scenery's Perry signed with the Buffalo Bills. This guy is, he's bounced around. He's been on a bunch of teams. That's what's kind of even saying weirder about this, that he's just kind of a nobody. But nevertheless, he signed a contract with the Buffalo Bills. And he asked if he could wear number 32. Of course, O.J. Simpson's jersey. O.J. Simpson's jersey has not been worn since 1977. It is not retired, the jersey, officially. But it's kind of strange because O.J. Simpson is on the Ring of Fame in Buffalo, and they never took him down. But Perry will be wearing number 32 this year if he makes the team. Cam, your take? Should somebody be wearing O.J. Simpson's jersey, and should the Buffalo Bills be letting somebody wear O.J. Simpson's jersey?
I couldn't care less about the Bills' jersey struggling, Gabe. Sonoris Perry, yeah, sure, he's wearing the jersey. He came there. He also, O.J. Simpson, they asked him. He says he didn't care, so I have no problem with it. He's already on the Ring of Fame, 32. I know O.J. did a lot of great things with the Bills before the infamous incidents, but you know what? I got no problem with it. I know you'd hope it would be somebody a little bit better than Sonoris Perry, but I really don't think it's an issue at all. O.J. gave him the thumbs up. That's all I need. Thumbs up to Perry. No problem.
Well, O.J.'s not happy, but I'm looking at it from a different angle, Cam. I'm not looking at it about it from O.J. Simpson's feelings. George, your take?
I don't mind what Cam said. I don't, but there's one line in what he said is what I'm going to harp on. I don't care about somebody wearing his number, but I think if on the Buffalo Bills, it has to be somebody worthwhile, not Senoris Perry. I think it needs to be a top prospect. Well, if they were to trade for LeSean McCoy or start a LeSean McCoy title player now, and he wanted to wear 32 because he always did, I'm good with that. I think you could sell that. But I don't think, as we all know, whatever you believe about O.J. Simpson, terrible and all that, if on the Bills, what he did for you was still memorable, you haven't taken his name down from the ring. If you took his name down from the ring, I would have a completely different take on this, but you haven't. I said, I don't mind a player wearing it. I don't. But I think it has to be somebody sort of a better player. Maybe not a great player, but it can't be Senoris Perry. I would need a better player.
I brought it up that it's Senoris Perry that is dumb only because now you have people talking about this. And quite frankly, I think the Buffalo Bills look like idiots and morons in this. And you have people talking about this. And he's not even going to make the team, this guy. We already have 16 running backs. Right, we have 16 running backs that are the same age of O.J. Simpson, I believe, and Gore and McCoy. Why don't we might as well sign O.J. at this point in time? But my point is, O.J. Simpson's jersey and that number 32 and the Buffalo Bill jersey, that's like a house in which, like, you know, something bad happened in. You know what I mean?
A murder?
Yeah. Like, and what do? They knock those houses down. They knock those houses down. I don't think anybody should wear it, and not out of deference to O.J. Simpson, and not that, oh, it's O.J. Simpson and he was a great player, no one should wear his number. But I don't think anybody should wear it. It should just be gone. It should just be gone. Yeah, forgotten about. Never spoken of again. The number 32 doesn't exist. It's like a monorail in The Simpsons. There ain't no monorail. There never was. And at the Monorail Cafe, there ain't no monorail. There never was. Is it, or you could say, well, they're moving on and whatnot, but, now it's going to be in a rotation. Because like I said, so this guy probably is not going to make the team even. And then somebody else will ask to wear it down the road. But number two, I'll ask you, George, first. Why would somebody want to wear the number 32 Buffalo Bill jersey?
Well, my first question might be, I would want to ask Perry this. Are you aware of who wears 32 for Buffalo? I mean, we've seen players nowadays are ignorant of the past, of all the history, right? I mean, we've seen this before where players have asked for numbers. That, what do you mean you want to wear 3 for the Yankees? That's Babe Ruth. You know, this has happened before. That's an example, by the way. No one ever asked. I'm just pointing it out. I've seen
he
this
wore the
times.
Number 32 in college.
Correct.
Still, you have to know you're not wearing it with Buffalo. You're not wearing 22 with Dallas.
And the thing is, he never got the chance to wear it before.
My guess is he was just unaware. Well, I mean, why would you want to wear it? You'd be associated
with
Bears. O.J. Simpson. People were talking about you and O.J. Simpson.
He got number 32 with the Bears, and he didn't stick with the Bears. The Dolphins, he wore number 34 because 32 is Kenyon Drake. So now, you know, it had nothing to do with O.J. Simpson. It had to do with him just wearing a number 32.
So he was unaware. Well, now he's aware. If I were him, I wouldn't want to wear.
He wasn't
I'd
unaware. He
number.
Just doesn't care.
We're 23.
He knows about O.J. Simpson. But yeah. He asked the Bills, is it retired or what did you do with it? And the Bills were like, no one really asked ever. No one's worn it since 1977. And they said, no, it's not retired. And he asked, can I wear it? And they said, yes. I personally, if the Bills, I would have said no. I just would have said no.
Yeah, this is on the Bills. This isn't on Perry. Yeah. If he wants to wear 32 and he wore that, he play at Louisville, you do all this stuff. He's just doing what he wants to do. This could have been easily been quashed by the Bills to say, hey, buddy, you ever look at the Ring of Honor? That's O.J. Simpson. He was like one of the best running back in our franchise, 4 rushing titles between 69 and 77. This isn't on Perry, Gabe. This is on the Bills. They could have easily just said, no, this isn't happening, but they didn't. Then he passed that test, and then he asked O.J., and O.J. says, well, you know what? Who cares? Wear it. So it's on the Bills organization.
O.J.'s not happy about this, Cam, though. He didn't say who cares.
No, I say who cares. I'm just saying the Bills could have stopped this, right? It's very simple. You said it. Like, they could have just basically said, no, you can't wear that number. But he gets past that line of communication there, right?
O.J. Simpson said it's fine with him.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, read between the lines. They could do whatever they want to do, you know, type of thing. Now, the fact is, and Mike Blewett on Twitter brought up a very good point earlier. And, George, the thing that's amazing about this is the fact that his jersey was never retired, actually. Mm-hmm. He only allegedly killed 2 people in 1994.
Do they retire jerseys on a regular basis?
That's when
the
his trial was 94, my bad, when he got off.
Do they retire jerseys on a regular? Think about it. In the NFL, I mean, I'm a Cowboy fan. The Cowboys have never retired 88. They could have retired it to Drew Pearson. They certainly should have retired it after Michael Irvin, but they haven't. Des Bryant wears it. There's somebody wearing it now. I don't think in the NFL you can retire numbers as easily because, remember, in the NFL, you don't have number 0 to 99 available.
That's a good point, George. But you only have so many numbers, right? Like a running
back. You have position groups, so it's tough to retire numbers. So I think they're numbers you take out of service. Like, no one will ever wear 22 for Dallas. Or I don't think anyone will wear 33 for Dallas, but they can't retire all of them. So I wonder if that plays a part in here too. But bottom line is, I mean, if you're right about Jim Kelly, and maybe quarterbacks are a little different because we love quarterbacks, right? Their numbers aren't retired.
78,
not retired. Starback's not retired.
Yeah.
You know, but if you're right, if they retired one number, then I might ask, why haven't they retired Simpson before?
Also,
even before 94, why didn't they retire it?
Look at Jim Kelly's the way he lives his life. Gabe, you know this. He's a staple of the Buffalo community. He still lives there. He hosts those events at Big Tree.
That's a great
point.
He's
a cancer survivor. He has all that work he does with the hospital after surviving. He has embraced the Western New York community where most people just piss on it and go wherever they live in Texas or wherever the hell they go afterwards. It's a big difference. He actually still makes Buffalo. He's a mainstay there, and he gets the respect within the community.
O.J. Simpson would be all over the Bills now if the Bills welcomed him back, but the Bills aren't going to welcome back. My guess would be, I mean, look, but remember O.J., when the Bills made the playoffs 2 years ago, the morning of the game, he tweeted out a picture of him wearing a Bills jersey. I think it was a McCoy jersey. Remember on Halloween, he dresses himself. He was giving candy to kids.
That's the Bills. Best. It's me.
But
happy Halloween.
You know what? I would say the reason that it wasn't retired would be Ralph Wilson. Ralph Wilson owned the team. He was the one in control of that stuff. And O.J. Simpson and Ralph Wilson worked tight. You know, like O.J. left Buffalo after. They didn't leave on the best of terms. And it was really Ralph Wilson's fault. He didn't want to pay anybody. Right? O.J. O.J. put it in his book about the Buffalo Bills, not the book about If I Did It, the other book. he put in his book that Ralph Wilson told him that he doesn't want to win a Super Bowl. He goes, if I win a Super Bowl, I'm going to have to pay everybody. He goes, it's fine the way it is, basically. It speaks volumes. And then O.J. went to San Francisco after the fact. But it's also no secret. O.J. sort of plays Buffalo up in the same way he played the black community up, in which, you know, O.J. went played the race car during the trial. And, you know, Johnny Cochran and everything, what in actuality, O.J. was very sort of, you know, he was a big sellout as far as the black community was concerned, right? And now it's the same thing. Like, he never liked Buffalo. Like, when he got drafted there, he complained behind the scenes, and he wanted the hell out of there. And so now he's like, oh, I've always loved Buffalo. You know, when it's kind of weird, that trial was just so bizarre and crazy. But they convinced, for one reason or another, Judge Ito to let the jury go to OJ's house, okay? It really had nothing to do with anything. But so they brought him to the house, and it's hilarious. So they go to the house before. We'll hit this on the other side with OJ, and then we'll get George Kurtz's hockey pick. But that's a funny story about OJ and who his friends really were. Game Time Decisions. And Eat Rate Radio. Free. Cheaper than EDC.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
The Warriors swept the Blazers last night, becoming the first team to reach five straight NBA finals since Bill Russell's Celtics did it 53 years ago. If you have your NBA future bets in, go to pointsbet.com/grid and open up a points bet sports wagering account. Enter the promo code GRID and you'll get two risk-free bets up to $1,000. In addition to traditional betting, PointsBet also offers its own betting concept where customers are rewarded by how much they win their bet by. For example, in the NFL, you bet the Giants -3. They win by 10, cover the spread by 7. You'll receive 7 times your stake. That's pointsbet.com/grid. Enter the promo code GRID and get your two risk-free bets up to $1,000 today.
A great promo. Two risk-free bets up to $1,000. Promo code GRID. Promo code GRID. So, yeah, we'll move forward from the OJ stuff. But, yeah, so as I was dating, so they went to his house. And so Johnny Cochran, I don't know how the hell, like Judge Ito was an idiot, right? So he let Cochran do whatever the hell he wanted. So Cochran's like, yeah, let's go to the house. And basically he wanted to show the length of the fence because they said that OJ climbed the fence and blah, 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 getting out of the limo and all this stuff. Because OJ said that, you know, he wasn't, you know, basically OJ said he was at home, right, when this happened. And a limo picked him up to take him to Chicago. And the limo driver was, like, ringing the doorbell and actually saw OJ Simpson climb over the back fence, like, looking sketchy.
See ya.
And then OJ answered the door, like, oh, sorry, I was in the shower. And the driver's thinking, I just saw you, like, climb through the yard, OJ. Like, you know what I'm saying? So anyways, they went to the house, and, you know, they wanted to show, oh, how could he have known who it was, and it could have been anyone, blah, blah, blah. So they go in the house and stuff. But before they went to the house, Johnny Cochran and the legal team went to OJ's house to clean it up or whatever. And they get to OJ's house, and there's nothing but pictures of OJ and white people on the wall.
Yes.
It's like OJ with Ronald Reagan. OJ and Bob Hope. You know what I mean? Like, it's like OJ with, like, white blonde chain. It was like just OJ with only white people. They were like, there's not, it was like, do the right thing. They're like, there wasn't a brother on the wall anywhere. And it was just like, you know, And Johnny Cochran's like, this isn't good. Like, we've got a black jury that we're trying to convince that OJ's getting played because of the race. And they look on the wall and they see OJ hanging out with Lonnie Anderson and Ronnie Reagan. It's not going to look good, right?
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, so he's Johnny Cochran's like, all right, get all this stuff off the wall. They took it all off the wall. And he told his crew, go to my office and take all the things from my office. And Johnny Cochran had, like, pictures of Africa. Like, Johnny Cochran had all this African art and pictures and everything. And he put it up on the wall all over. They redecorated OJ's house to make it look like he was a black, like, hardcore, you know, African stuff on the wall and ancestry stuff. So when the black jury walked the house, they were like, oh, yeah, yeah. Sort of was like an inside, you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah, he's getting screwed by the white guy here, right? Like, I don't know. I'm not a judge, George, but I don't know in what world that an attorney would be allowed to go, like, redecorate, like, the suspect's house. You know what I mean? Like, it actually influenced the jury. Like, it really did. Like, OJ's, you know, one of the attorneys that Johnny Cochran's dead now, but one of the assistant attorneys, Carl something, did a great interview in the 30 for 30. And there's another, he's been very open about it. And he basically stated, like, they were even shocked that he don't let him do it and how it framed OJ because of those pictures. But yeah, it was crazy. OJ with Ronald Reagan, OJ with Lonnie Anderson. It's not what Cochran wanted to see.
For those who weren't around then, man, I was watching a basketball game when I first saw the white Bronco on the freeway there.
Yeah,
I think it was Knicks Detroit. Oh,
because it was the Knicks.
It was the finals. Yeah,
it was the finals, right? Knicks, and was it Detroit? I think it might have been. No, it could have been. It was finals. It could have been Detroit, but it was definitely the Knicks were on. And I was watching that. And just the whole case was weird. You know, if I'm on that jury, though, and you bring me to someone's house, I know they've cleaned it. I know they've cleansed it. I mean, come on. You know, I think the only reason why you would ever do that, you already said, Gabe, why were they going to OJ's house? That's not where the crime was committed. What did that have to do with anything? That was strange. You know, you bring me to the house where the crime was committed, and you let me see certain things, I might like that more.
Point. You wouldn't think that they changed the artwork, though. I'd go, wow, the carpet's
sure, I would. I assume they change everything. I would assume they built a brand new freaking house. I would never assume that anything's someone who's rich like this, this.
I got to be honest with you. If I went to somebody's house and I just see pictures, I'd say maybe those are the pictures. I'd be thinking about other stuff. Like if I saw like a stain where there's a blood stain or whatever, I wouldn't think about them changing artwork, but I don't know, maybe you're shrewder than me.
But that's not where the crime was committed. That's the point. My first thought would be, why the hell are we going here?
Yeah.
It sets
why do I care where this guy lives?
It sets
but I wouldn't care. In my mind, as far as that whole trial, if I was on a jury, I think he was guilty of sin, but the defense did was they proved the police had misconduct here, and there was issues all over the place.
For sure.
I'd have probably voted innocent too. Because I think what happened is the police didn't realize they had as much evidence as they did, and they thought they probably thought they did have to plant it to make sure. So they did, and then he goes, "Oh crap, we didn't need to do this." You know, then it all unraveled. You know, if the glove doesn't fit, you must have quit. That bull crap. You know, it just all unraveled for the defense. Well, for the prosecution when they realized, oh my God, we've been caught planting evidence we really didn't have to. So like I said, I think he was guilty of sin, but if I was on that jury because of what I think the defense did prove that the police planted evidence, I'd have voted innocent as well.
The jury had their mind made up before. They weren't going to vote him guilty. And it wasn't because they loved O.J. Simpson, but the cops in L.A. had been racist forever. They beat the living shit out of Rodney King. They got away with it.
It was bad times, exactly.
So they went to trial. They got away with it, and it was just like a year earlier type of thing. You know what I mean?
Firestorm.
And it was like, you know what? This time we're going to win. This time we're going to screw you. You know, like we're going to screw you in court. And like you said, every time the LAPD sat down, everyone in the jury was just sneering at them, right? Like, and like I said, Marsha Clark is an idiot. She's a twit. Christopher Darden's an idiot. He's the one that allowed the whole glove thing. It was his idea. Judge Ito was awestruck by Johnny Cochran and the Dream Team, the legal team, just steamrolled and did whatever the hell they wanted. throughout the trial. They, you know, the jury like was they weren't going to convict. Like basically, it's crazy stuff. But you know, like I said, the Buffalo Bills could have just said no, but. Nevertheless,
Let me ask you one question. Do you think that when OJ did in Vegas, when he was trying to get his memorabilia back with a gun or something like that, and he got a harsh prison sentence, do you think he would have gotten that harsh a prison sentence if he didn't get away with the murder?
No, God, no.
No, right? So I think they made up for it somewhere. The justice system got him eventually. Because that seemed to be a little ridiculous for what happened there, too, that he got that harsh a sentence. So I guess in some ways, it didn't work out. But in some ways, I guess justice did prevail as far as jail time is concerned.
He ended up doing like 14 years. He did quite a 13 years or something like
that. Yeah, he did a long stretch.
Yeah.
For murder, you would have got 25 to life. So you can't really say it's balanced.
It's not perfect. It's not perfect, but at least they did get him.
Yeah, but he got something. For the memorabilia stuff, he got snowballed. It was he should have done a couple years tops.
What if he didn't do it?
What, murder? What, are you kidding me, Gabe?
What are the chance? Like,
really? Are we going?
No, I think he's guilty.
Okay.
Oh, no,
fleeing in the Bronco alone meant you were guilty. Why else were you I don't remember what the excuses were. Why was he fleeing in the Bronco? What was that excuse? He was upset? Is that it?
I don't know, George. The cops, being a black man in America, I think that's pretty tough. I think I'd flee, too. Especially since...
he was on the freeway with 9,000 cameras. What the hell were they going to do to him?
Racist as hell, though. Gabe, you bring up...
They definitely were.
It was a firestorm at times. It was a horrible area for racism. The Rodney King situation, the mass riots, the burning buildings, like... It was just one of the black community, like the white
people. Oh, yeah, the icing on the cake.
And know what? OJ was the beneficiary of it. Let's call it out for what it is.
He was right time, right place. But the icing on the cake really was Mark Furman. Because he was the cop that found the glove. God. And then they asked him, are you racist? He's like, no. And they're like, are you sure? He's like, no. And then they have tapes of him, like, using racist language. And then it was done. Like, it was like, yeah, you're done. Like, you know what I mean?
God, I remember David Wells, the Yankee pitcher, brought Furman into the clubhouse as a guest. What the hell are you thinking?
Wow.
Yeah. This is a big thing back when Wells was there. Yeah, way to lose respect real quick.
Dude, he's the lead crime analyst on Fox News.
Yeah. And that other chick, you said it, Gabe. Marcia Clark is like in my murder mysteries. She's doing her own side shows, right? Where they bring
the
cases. Everybody survives.
They all cashed.
Everyone survives. Yeah, they all cash in.
There's actually a television show now. I think it's called The Fix on Monday nights, which it's marching. They're replaying this trial with OJ, but instead of a football player, it's an actor, a famous actor who committed a murder. Great, they end up committing two murders.
Robert
and how
Blake.
The trial goes like that. Robert Blake's a big one too, right? I mean, God, that was surreal at that time. That trial and that was going on there. It was surreal, but as Gabe said, and I agree, I don't think they were ever going to find him guilty. But the police and all their antics made it real easy.
Yep.
You know, it's crazy, too, the Buffalo Bills. So OJ's a Buffalo Bill. The Oklahoma City Bomber was a hardcore Buffalo Bill fan. And
look at that. Learn something new every day.
You didn't know that? Yeah. That's what
I had no
off.
Idea, no.
Yeah.
I don't think David Koresh likes sports, Gabe.
No, David Koresh, no.
McLeod,
just
McLeod,
like cheerleaders. Koresh liked the cheerleaders, but not the game. No.
Yeah,
you know, crazy too, because I read about Timothy McVeigh, and it said how the Buffalo Bills made Timothy McVeigh snap, and I'm thinking, wow, like, come on, a little harsh. Like, what, he blew up the Oklahoma City, you know,
your team doesn't
building
win?
Because
give me a
but he really did. Like, it really was part of it. Like, there's no disputing it. I read it's nuts, guys. He loved the Bills. Like, loved the Bills. And he went to Iraq. He came back from the war. His life sucked. He couldn't get a job. He was depressed. He was drinking. And all he had in his life was the Buffalo Bills. He took all of his money and bet on the Buffalo Bills against the Washington Redskins in that Super Bowl.
Super Bowl? Oh, what a dog.
They lost. He lost all his money, became disenfranchised, and then blew the Oklahoma City building up. Now, I should note that he was becoming more and more anti-government you know, over the years. But it was after that that he told someone, I'm done. I got nothing to live for. And, yeah, it was after that. Yeah, you guys can look it up. All right, George. So are the Blues going to win the game tonight and go to the Stanley Cup?
No Carlson, no Hartle. They didn't make the trip to San Jose. Pavelski's a game-time decision.
Game-time decision, yep.
Maybe you can muster everything up here, but does anybody trust Martin Jones? Either they were healthy, I wouldn't trust Martin Jones. It's in St. Louis. How can you pick San Jose unless you're a Sharks fan? I mean, really, how can you pick San Jose?
I'll say this, George. Martin Jones, without him, the Blues would have won that game by like 12 goals the other night. That was straight up.
Great. So he finally plays well in a game you lost anyway.
Yeah.
He has to play. He probably needs to pitch either a shutout to give up one or two goals tonight.
One or two goals.
No, I can't. I can't see how this works out. Well, I think this could be a one of those avalanche games. St. Louis goes up early and they start taking chances now, and all of a sudden everything just goes wrong for San Jose. I got St. Louis tonight.
George Kurtz, Colonel Kurtz. Thanks, George.
Later, anytime, buddy. Guys.
A buck 80 George now, Kurtz. Gabe. Blues a buck 80. That's too much. A lot of juice.
FanDuel's got 170 right now. Yes,
ooh,
no prices. No prices. Crushed it last night. Both teams camped in. We'll see what we like on the other side.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Last night, nice night. We're hoping that both me and Cam can find a way to win. We ended up going with the money line. We were talking about I'd rather lay 40 cents than minus 2.5. And it's a good thing that we did because Warriors end up winning by 2 points. And we go 0-2. We appreciate Jesse's. That was a good one. I like that. I've always been a fan of Mr. Perfect as well, as he imposed my face on Mr. Perfect's body. After our 3-0 performance last night, and I know you went 5-1 last night, so good job last night.
Yeah, sorry, 5-2, Gabe. I think Arizona was a late play that I had that lost, but still good money. And know what the best thing is, Gabe? I put a parlay together. Since remember we were talking about bookies and parlays and superfectas, how much bookies hate it, and then I go, you know what? I'm going to put together a little parlay. $10 that won $150, and I did a $20 one that almost won 600. Arizona, the only wrong game on it. So you know what, Gabe? What we're going to do, practice what we preach, more parlays together because it's nice, man. Like, I just, you know what I mean? And it's great when you have it. And I took a couple dogs at the plus 1.5 just for the security, and it won. So you wake up with an account and it's got more money in it. Let's keep on building. Remember I told you, brick by brick.
And tonight, the Toronto Raptors. It looks like it's getting up to 3 right now. Just hit 3 over
three.
At FanDuel.
3, 217.5.
Wow.
Crazy.
It was 219, so it's come down as well. Some under money coming in here in this spot. And, man, the Toronto Raptors aren't home dogs very often. And, in fact, they haven't been a home dog all year. So it's the first and only time you're getting the Raptors getting points on their home court, now getting up to 3 points. I think a lot, and listen, we talked about this game earlier in the day, and I guess like 81% of the betting public are on the Milwaukee Bucks tonight. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that the Bucks are 21-1 straight up after a loss this year. They've only lost back-to-back games once all season long. They're 18-4 against the spread in that situation, but you're not playing the Cleveland Cavaliers on a Tuesday night.
Exactly.
Like the Toronto Raptors in the playoffs. And Kawhi Leonard started to creak free. Level 2 coming up.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
It's the news update from Game Time Decisions.
Yes, thank you very much, Yang. I'm Cam Stewart with your Fantasy Sports News Update. Starting with the NFL, the New England Patriots veteran corps not done yet. These guys want more. The Patriots have signed star receiver Julian Edelman to a two-year $18 million extension. That includes an $8 million signing bonus and a $12 million of guaranteed money. Cha-ching. Fresh off a Super Bowl MVP honor, the 32-year-old receiver gets a deal that will keep him in New England through the 2021 season. Edelman, remember, a former college quarterback with the Kent State Golden Flashes, landed with New England as a seventh-round pick in 2009. What a steal there. He is one of the NFL's best slot receivers, racking up 74 catches, 850 yards, and six touchdowns, and that even after serving a four-game suspension to start last year. The Tampa Bay Bucs lost tackle Gerard McCoy yesterday, but they're nearing a one-year deal with former Rams star defensive tackle Ndamukong Suh, selected as a number two overall pick by the Lions back in 2010. Suh has been a monster in his pro career. He's 32 years old right now, started 142 games over 9 years, recording 56 sacks, and he has three first-team all-pro nods. Josh Jones of the Green Bay Packers wants out of the town. The safety's skipping voluntary workouts in hopes of being traded, this according to ESPN. Jones' future was thrown into question after the Pack acquired Adrian Amos from the Bears, and right now it looks like he is going to leave. We talked about the Buffalo Bills story with Kurtz. Yes, yes, for the first time in more than four decades, the Bills have issued O.J. Simpson's number 32 to another player. Running back Sonoris Perry, who joined the Bills after spending two seasons with Miami, has been wearing O.J.'s number 32 in offseason workouts. O.J. says he's got no issue with it, but he probably does. Giving out the famous number, Simpson was a monster with the Bills, winning four rushing titles with them from 1969 through 1977. More bad news for the beat-up Sharks. We talked about this one, Game 6 of the Western Final going down in St. Louis tonight at 8:30. Sharks are going to be without star defenseman Erik Karlsson. He's got a groin injury. Talented and forward Thomas Hertl, he's banged up. And one of the team leaders and best players, Joe Pavelski, he's going to be a game-time decision for the Sharks. Blues laying a $1.75 in this game, total 5.5, and St. Louis leads the series 3-2. They go to the Stanley Cup Final with a win. Boston's waiting. They're the favorites to win it all at minus 150 right now. NBA news. Blazers are toast. Dame's going to get paid, though. Damian Lillard will become eligible for a Supermax contract extension this summer if he's named to one of an all-star NBA team, and the Blazers are anticipating to oblige him. The two sides are expected to come to terms on a four-year, $191 million Supermax extension. The point guard a lock for an All-NBA nod after averaging 25.8 points and 6.9 assists in the regular season of play, but he was banged up in the playoffs big time. Lillard turns 29 this summer. He has 2 years and $62 million remaining on his existing deal with the Blazers. As we mentioned, NBA playoff action tonight, a big one in Toronto. The Raptors hosting the Bucks. 8:30. The Bucks are laying 3 in this game now. Total down to 217.5. Bucks -160 money line. Raptors +140. Also, Milwaukee leads the series 2-1. Updated series price: Bucks -600. Raptors +400. Western Conference winner Golden State going to their fifth straight NBA final. They are -240 to win it all. As we mentioned, 14 games on the board in the MLB tonight. The St. Louis Kansas City game has now been postponed due to some bad weather. Early start time. We got a 6:10 start, guys, if you want to get your bets in there. Oakland at Cleveland. The Tribe are laying -130 in that game. Total 8.5. Bassett versus Bauer. Three more at 7:05. New York Yankees laying 265 at Baltimore. Over under 9.5. Herman and Cashner. Colorado is -125 at Pittsburgh. 7.5 is your over under. Marquez versus Archer. And good news, the game's in Pittsburgh. Coors Field today ravaged by a snowstorm late May in Colorado, so they wouldn't have been able to play in Colorado, but the game is in Pittsburgh. Philadelphia at the Cubs. Cubs -147.5. Eflin and Quintana at 7:07. Boston -145 at Toronto, 8.5. Rodriguez versus Stroman. As we mentioned, that early game, St. Louis, Kansas City postponed due to weather. We'll go over the whole baseball board in the next update there. There's 14 games on the sched. Updated hockey action, double IHF World Hockey Championships. Canada blanking the USA 3-0, but both teams advance. Canada winning the division. USA finishing fourth in the group. The top four teams advance. I'm Cam Stewart. Stay tuned. Gabe Morency hosts Red Heat and Rage Radio. We're in hour two. Thanks for George Kurtz coming on the show, and we'll break it down with Big Man on Campus a little bit later, go through the NBA game tonight. Stick around. Hour two, Red Heat and Rage Radio, coming up next.
All you have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to you.
Game time decisions.
Let's roll back to live action, fellas. Game time decisions. Red Heat Rage Radio continues. Toronto Raptors hope that their postseason continues into the weekend as they're down 2-1. They look to even the series tonight at 2. Then they would go to Milwaukee for a game 5 on Thursday. So either way, they're going to Milwaukee. The question is, will they be returning on Sunday? Sundays have been pretty good to the Raptors. It was a Sunday night that Kawhi hit that shot. The following Sunday, this past Sunday, they outlast and survive against the Milwaukee Bucks. But it seems as if, though, people just don't believe in the Raptors. There's concern about Kawhi Leonard and his health right now. But the fact of the matter is, Cam, you know, we talked about this during the Joel Embiid stuff. And every day, oh, Joel Embiid had this, Joel Embiid had that. You know, you wouldn't know it. I talked about this yesterday. If Kawhi Leonard had malaria, they wouldn't tell us, right? The guy's going to play through the pain. And, you know, it's a will to win right now. Except I knew the Raptors were going to win on Sunday. It wasn't easy, but I knew they were going to win on Sunday. There wasn't a doubt in my mind that they were going to win on Sunday. Tonight, I can't lie to you and say that there's not a doubt in my mind that they're going to win this. Because subconsciously, even though you're professional athletes, and I heard Steve Kerr talk about this last week, so I think he, I've never been up 2-0 in the conference finals, but Steve Kerr was saying it's just human nature. Subconsciously, you're up 2-0. You've already beaten this team twice in the last like 4 days or whatever, that you think, you know, we're better than them. You know, we've just beaten them twice. We beat them pretty easily. We're not even playing that well, and we're beating them. So it's just sort of human nature. Plus, Toronto is very, very desperate. Milwaukee aren't going to be taking anything for granted tonight. You know what I'm saying, Cam? Tonight, we're going to get a big counter punch from the Milwaukee Bucks. You know the Greek Freak's going to try to get going early tonight.
Yeah, but I still think the Raptors are being disrespected. They're the home team. They're getting 3 points instead of laying 3 points. I think it's a discrepancy. I think people look at the Raptors' past. Also, in that game, Lowry fouled it early. A lot of things, could have even gone better for the Raptors in that game. So, you know what? I think it's a good bet tonight. I am a little bit scared too, Morency. But the one thing that really stands out to me is the series price. I think it's insane that Milwaukee is minus 600. I talked to Billy the Doorman about it today. I said, what would you make the line at? He said the same thing to me, minus 320, 340. Well, it's almost double that. It's 600. And now you get the Raptors at plus 400 or 410. And you know what? If they win tonight, that's going to change everything too. It's worth a play, Gabe. We talk about the futures market. This is where you buy the stock. I'm getting in at plus 400. And hopefully we'll have a situation where we can make money.
FanDuel has plus 430.
Even better,
plus
Gabe.
430. It's crazy.
Even better.
Crazy. It's way out of whack. He said, watch what happens tonight. Raptors win tonight. Suddenly the Bucks are going to be like minus 200 in the morning only.
Thank you. Said it.
All right, we'll break down this Buck and Raptor game. Coach Nick's going to step up and in. Me and Ranieri spoke to him earlier this morning. We've got numbers for the NBA Finals as well.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Thank you very much, Yang. Yang? Game time decisions, level two. Continues. Just fired off a poll question. Who you got tonight? We the North, Fear the Deer. Toronto Raptors +3. Milwaukee Bucks -3. Raptors +138 money line. Bucks -162 money line. We'll see what the Rageaholics have to say about this. And it's interesting, Cam. It's sort of a situation where if I was laying 3 points, yeah, I'm not a fan of the -160, -162, but these games are close. It could be close. And, you know, for me, I'll be looking at the Raptors +3 and the Raptors money line. It'll be one of the let's play two. Let's split it in two plays tonight.
Yeah, it's kind of
give me
like
the three and give me the money line.
It's what I did with Portland last night, Gabe, and the line went down to 2.5. I got Portland earlier at 3.5, and I bought the half point to 4. And you know that game, Golden State at one point could have won by 4. It looked like Portland was going to win exactly as you predicted. Then Portland was killing them, and then Golden State came back. When you're dealing with games this close and numbers are sharp, usually in an NBA game, you're like, 3 points, 2 points. I'll just money line it. Thank God I put more on the spread than the money line. We both won. This is the difference. And we talk about where gambling changes. Numbers are get sharper. It's not a Tuesday night game versus the Cavs at the end. Foul. Usually comes down to a last shot, crazy things. The games are decided between 1 and 4 points. So you know what? I'm with you. I think it's a time, if you could take points, take them and a little sprinkle. So if you want to do a unit bet, maybe, you know, 70-30% or 75-25, however you want to play, whatever your style is, it's something I would recommend than just going all in on the money line.
I'm looking over at covers.com right now, and their consensus is 50-50.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
50% that's really,
Bucks, 50% wow. Raptors.
Crazy. Usually, I would have thought, even with people like supporting the Raptors, I thought it would be probably 65-35 bucks or 60-40. I thought more people would think Greek Freak bounce back. You know what I'm saying, Gabe? They seem to be a more trendier team with the betting public, I would think. But, it's interesting.
It's 50-50. Moved to 51% now, 51% bucks. 53% on the under as opposed to the over here tonight. Listen, 2 of the last 3 games have gone over the number yet. It took overtime for the last one again. Well, double overtime, but it took overtime to get there. And in game two, it just squeezed over in garbage time. It wasn't getting there, and it sort of did. You know, if you had the over, you were lucky. There was a lot of late garbage points. A couple of late baskets went in. It got you there. Game one went under. Listen, the Raptors, the lower scoring the game, the better it is for the Raptors. It's sort of correlated.
I agree.
The Raptors aren't built to win this game 118-117. You know what I mean?
No.
It's not.
They want to grind out.
Yeah.
99-96 type of thing. Yeah, if the game stayed in the high 90s, advantage Raptors or low 100s. You're right. If it goes to like a $115+, that's probably a Milwaukee way. They want to run and gun a little bit more with the Greek Freak. And I'll say this about the Raptors defense, Gabe. Expect Giannis to go into the lane a hell of a lot more. He looked like he stalled a lot of the time. That's due to the good defense of Kawhi. But he knows. If I'm Milwaukee's coach, I just say, listen, you're going to get every call, Giannis. Next to LeBron, you are the NBA. Just go into the Raptors. We'll call it. Like, you'd be a stooge not to go in. And that's what I worry about tonight. Giannis being very aggressive and getting Raptors into foul problems, which is probably going to happen.
Yeah, I can't. It's a good call, Cam.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's just very good call. I can't dispute that. Now, one thing that we should note is Giannis really struggling at the free throw line, Cam. And
he sure is.
If I'm the Raptors, I'd rather have him on the line than and having him hit one out of every two, like 50% or so, than him dunking on me and getting a free two and a free throw after, right?
I agree. And another point is, it's kind of like Hackashack Jr. He is better that way, but big, tall men in situations like that, you're right. Why would you give him the easy points with any contact and go up for, you know, a three-point play? I'd rather, if you know you can get him early, foul him early before he even has a chance to make that basket and one, and see if he can hit it there too. I'm not saying go out and foul him, but you're absolutely correct. Don't give him easy looks at the basket for easy shots, because with any type of contact, he's going to be going up for three-point plays. I think it's something Nick Nurse and the Raptors really have to address tonight. I really like the way Norm Powell played. I'd like to keep Fred VanVleet off the floor as much as we can. Nothing against the man. You know, he seems like a great guy. It's just, he just looks lost out there, and his confidence is at a nil. So other guys are going to have to step up too.
You know, it's funny, actually. There's some sort of thought, you know, we talked about this with Coach Nick a little bit, about if the Raptors should change their starting lineup and get Powell some more minutes right now. You know, Powell is capable. Powell has shown that, you know, under pressure he can play. The thing with Powell is it's a focus issue. He's, like, too much of a nice guy. And, like, I don't know. Like, he doesn't have a killer instinct and stuff, but if you get him going, he can contribute. Now, I'm not saying, you know, I don't know if you start him. Coach Nick would like to shake up the lineup and have Ibaka on the floor. And, you know, we'll hear what Coach Nick has to say. You know, Norman Powell was a difference maker the other night, man. You know, like, the Raptors' strength was their bench all year long, and it's been a weakness in the postseason.
Yeah.
They're going to have to contribute. It doesn't matter who it is. Like, if we can get it, you know what I mean? If VanVleet can score 9 points tonight, I mean, he did hit a very big three the other night.
He did, and I'll give him credit.
About freaking time, but it was. They needed that shot, and it went in.
Yeah. It was finally an open look that he hit. But, Gabe, Powell looks differently to me, and you know this. You're watching the game intensely. You're at the game. Norm Powell, yeah, you're right. The nice guy complex. But you saw him the other game when he got pushed from behind, the foul call. Like, he had an edge to him. Like, he wanted to fight somebody, and I really liked it. Like, because he wasn't the same friendly Norman Powell. Yeah, he gets it. Like, I was a big factor when we beat the Bucks the year before in the playoffs, right? And now he understands, God, if these other guys aren't going to step up, the hell, I'm going to have to do it. And I really like his clutch play when he really, really needs to. And I think he could do it again. He looks very confident in stressful situations.
The officiating crew tonight, Kane Fitzgerald, Josh Tiven, James Capers, and Ken Maurer.
Capers. Hey, we're gonna
James Capers.
Hey, Capers.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's look up and we'll see here. All right. NBA.
It's actually important to check the referees, man. You know what I mean? Like, the Raptors.
Well, I'm glad I don't see Scott Foster here.
Oh yeah, exactly.
Or Ed Malloy. All right, Kane Fitzgerald. Yeah, you like
great
that name, huh?
Kane?
Ooh, I like this, Ken. I like this. Home teams are 40-31 with Kane Fitzgerald as the referee.
Doesn't like to get booed by the fans. Ooh, F you, ref. He's like, oh, come on, man. Come on. Nice. Come on. I'm Kane
Fitzgerald. What's the other chant fans do now? Refs, you suck.
Yeah, a lot of originality there.
I'm a fan of the college one. Bullshit. Bullshit.
I like that too. Bullshit.
And the colleges hate that one. It's like,
yeah, I know. But it's the best, because it's just like screw you, ref. It's kind of like, wow. Like, it's not mean enough. Bullshit. It's got like an edge to it. It's like, yeah. I like it. And it goes really well with booze too. Like, the infused drunk BS chant is, it's an amazing chant. I'm with you. Way better than the ref chant.
A lot of pressure on both teams coming into tonight. I think this game plays to the lower side, I got to believe. And like I said, it's kind of correlated. You know, if Milwaukee plays well, then, you know, Milwaukee wants to score 110, 115 points or so. But I don't think they can score that much. I don't think they will. I think the Raptors slow it down a little bit.
Yep.
It's going to be a battle, man. It's not game seven, but I think it has a game seven feel to it.
Well, yeah, it will have a game seven feel. Because if the Raptors lose tonight, they're toast. Like, there's no way you're coming back and playing two road games in Milwaukee and winning them both. It's not happening. It is a must-win imperative game that they win tonight. Other guys in the team, best you say, Gabe, they have to win. They win this game, they got a chance to win the series. You lose, you're done. Very simple.
Gotta love the playoffs.
Playoffs?
Every game is the biggest game until the next game.
True. Very
it's
true.
The biggest game in franchise history, Sunday. Yeah, oh, right. It's the biggest game tonight. And then Thursday. And then Sunday.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Hey, have you guys been riding the Tommy Lestella train at MLBFS? After years of sitting on the bench in the Cubs dugout, he's been getting a chance to play full-time for the Angels. With another 3-for-4 night last night, he's been helping you get paid nightly. Let DailyRoto.com guide you to victory as you swing for the fences playing Daily Fantasy Baseball. Become the 8th DailyRoto.com lineup optimizer user to win $1 million in a FanDuel or DraftKings tournament, or become one of the countless number of people who have won thousands of dollars. If you're playing MLB DFS and not using DailyRoto.com, you're doing it wrong. Enter the promo code FNTSY for a 10% discount. You'll get lineup alerts, projected ownership percentages, weather updates, fantasy projections, and the use of the Daily Roto lineup optimizers that have produced millions of DFS winnings. That's the 2019 MLB Daily Roto Premium Package at Roto.com. Use the promo code FNTSY and get a special 10% discount today.
Our poll question is out there on Twitter, at SportsRage. Who you got tonight, We the North or Fear the Deer? Raptors plus 3, 26%. Milwaukee Bucks minus 3, 30%. Toronto Raptors money line plus 138, 29%. Milwaukee Bucks money line minus 162, 14%. So 30% Bucks minus 3, 29% Toronto Raptors money line. And the game could be close. I'll take the 3 just for a little bit of insurance here, Cam. But the reality of the situation is, even late in the game, covering does nothing for the Raptors. You know what I mean?
No, they got
to
win the
game. This is like
game.
All or nothing, foul to the end. So the 3 might not come into play, honestly, unless they lose like a heartbreaker, buzzer type of stuff. But that's what I like about the money line here. The Raptors are showing up to win this damn game. You know what I mean? They need to win a game. You're getting plus 138 with a desperate team that's now 39-11 on their home court this year. Well, lost 11 home games, playoffs included, all season long. They haven't been a home dog all year long, Cam. The last time they were a home dog was last year when they got swept by Cleveland. In the meltdown, they got 7 points at home in one of the games, and it was a push.
Yeah.
They lost by 7. It ended up being a push. It was frustrating because they were covering, and it ended up being a push in the end. After that, they were an underdog once last year at home to Houston. So, like, they don't get points. They've never gotten points this year at home all year. So, first time all season that the Raptors are a home underdog.
I think the number's wrong. Even if they don't win, it's just one of those things that people just assume the Bucks are going to battle back. I love the way they play defense on Giannis, too. I'm really worried that he gets the benefit of almost every call tonight, too. So, they're going to have to be really, really the form they use, Gabe, keep the arms up straight. Don't lean into them. Don't make any extra contact because stars get calls. This is the National Basketball League, and it's a real problem. And the other thing is, it's more than frustrating. It's almost like it feels like it's a movie script half the time. But it bothers me because Kawhi Leonard is a certified star, yet he gets draped on and gets less calls than other stars. Maybe it's the way he plays.
Complain.
Yes, he doesn't complain. Maybe it's the way he attacks the basket. I don't know what the hell it is, but yes, it has a lot to do with not complaining. It'd be nice if he got some damn star calls at home. And I found it interesting, Gabe, too, when I was looking at the statistics of fouls. You look at any other game in the postseason, home teams get way less foul calls. The Raptors still had more foul calls than Milwaukee. You know, what do I have to
say? I'm looking at Kane Fitzgerald's numbers now. So home teams are 40-31-1 against the spread in Kane Fitzgerald referee games. Pretty high discrepancy with the total with this guy, 38-24 actually,
which is
amongst
over?
NBA refs. Yeah.
Yeah. What does that mean? Lots of fouls, probably. stopping
yes,
your clock.
Yes, and as I dig in here, and on this show is the only place you're going to find this out, but him and Nick Nurse got into it in the G League in 2010.
Not cool. I hope it's all forgiven. Maybe a Christmas card.
Yeah, I hope, like Kramer says, hope it's water near a bridge.
Yeah. Nick Nurse is kind of a weird. He's an interesting cat. I don't know. Is he the type of guy to forgive?
This guy Fitzgerald, the referee, is also the first guy and the only guy ever to kick LeBron out of a game.
Ooh, I like that though. That's in the pro call. So,
the more I'm digging here, yeah, he's actually.
Know what that sounds like? No BS guy, Gabe.
He's a big technical foul guy. If you mouth off, you get a T with this guy.
Ding dong. Yeah, we're all over it, Gabe. We're all over it. We didn't have to go to school for a psychology course. We could just break down the NBA referee trends, and we'll tell you what type of guy he is.
Yeah. I hope the Bucks are really healthy tonight with him.
I hope so, too. Like, man, give Giannis a call. Man. Screw you, Fitzpatrick.
This guy sounds like this guy Kane. Sounds like he'd like Kawhi Leonard. No pitching. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hope so. That's a good call, Gabe. He likes his wife. He likes it quiet at night. No talking. Hey, baby.
I want to know the Raptors' record with this Kane guy, though. I need to know specifically.
I see, Gabe.
This is what people tune in for. They need information.
Deeper. Keep digging.
Information. We want information.
Information.
Kane Fitzgerald.
So what do you do? Yeah, pop up Kane Fitzgerald record while reffing Raptors. Will that work? Or let's go to the old box. It's got to be in some kind of database.
Raptors record. Kane Fitzgerald. BasketballReference.com. Nope. Just home away type stuff. But we see, all right, he likes home teams. We know this.
Yeah, you're right. Every NBA referee to issue LeBron James' first career ejection. I like that. Karl Anthony Towns ejected because of refs. Cheryl told a reporter about his elbow. He didn't like that.
I'm looking here.
Deep league official.
NBA worst referees by survey. NBA players, he's not on the list.
Good.
That's good. Yeah. At least, he's not there at least. You know what I mean? That's the top three. At least he's not voted the top three.
I love the world we're in. Like, you go Kane Fitzgerald record with Raptors or something. Like, it gives you want. And that's another thing. Like, yesterday, I go, you know, there's a store, Gabe, because it was a national holiday, and I had to pick up some apple cider and a bottle of wine for, you know, I want to do something for a neighbor. Wasn't sure if Lisa was coming over, so I go, wine rack. They're like, how to make a wine rack. No, the store's called the wine rack, you moron. Like, honestly, computers, it's almost like they made my life miserable. I could have just figured it out myself, right? It's just sent me on a damn goose chase all over everywhere. It's a bunch of joke. It's a joke. It's supposed to make life easier. It makes it more difficult. Anyway, this guy sounds all right. If he's getting rid of LeBron James and Karl Anthony Towns for lipping off, maybe it's a good start. You're right. One thing Kawhi doesn't do is bitch. He'll just give you a look like, what? Like, what are you doing to me here? You know?
Type referee. Man, I'm searching. I'm looking here.
I told you, I've already given up. Like, you can keep on trying. Like, I tried every little column. Like, got to be in a database somewhere, but that's why you can create your own database, Gabe, Mark Lawrence style. You know, you got to have the referee column.
Okay. Here we go. No, dude, I don't let up, bro. I don't let up. That's why I'm better than them. Ooh, I like this one. The Raptors are 7-1 in playoff games officiated by James Capers.
Oh yeah. Oh, Capers, so you found Capers instead of Fitzgerald. Okay. He's
on
the crew.
Yeah, but it's Capers and Fitzgerald. It's both of them. Okay. Like, they're the lead refs.
7-1. Nice.
7-1.
That's
think about this, Cam, though. We're only in May right now, and we're not even close to June. Let's just say hypothetically the Bucks win tonight. Which I don't even like saying that out loud. But let's just say they win tonight. Mm-hmm. Then they win on Thursday. Yes. The NBA doesn't want to start their finals. Like, Golden State's already waiting.
I know.
They've got to get this to at least the weekend. Raptors win tonight, gets them to the weekend, and gets a game 6 guaranteed.
Yeah.
Raptors are going to get calls tonight. They won't get pinched tonight. I'm telling you. The NBA needs games on TV. Like, we might get screwed. They won't care. They'll want Milwaukee to win after. But like I said, Toronto loses tonight. Suddenly the Bucks win on Thursday. It's the last thing the NBA Finals wants to do is start this right now. They want to milk this some more. They want to get through this weekend and start the playoff, the finals next week and stuff. It's way too early, man, for the NBA Finals to be starting.
I'll tell you one thing. At the end of that Portland game, when they had that lead, you could tell the referees were almost frustrated when Portland started to go ice cold. Like, once Golden State came back, you could see, because they almost...
They're like, we're trying, guys. You're right. Yeah, the refs are like, we're trying, guys.
It felt that way. It's like, where's Leonard again? You were just hitting threes. Then brick. Then you're looking, Miles Turner, brick. I'm like, oh, my God. All you guys got to do is hit two out of these, like, 10 shots. You'll still have an eight-point cushion. And then Golden State kept on coming back and coming back and coming back. And after the referees kind of look at each other, go, you know what? What are we going to do? These guys aren't doing... Like, and I'll tell you something. I don't want to rip it. You talk about, like, we're not professionals, professional players or whatever. But I'll say Coach Terry Stotts, horrible, horrible offensive sets. Like, you're coming out there. Nobody's moving. The screens suck. Like, I was looking at Portland going, really? This is what you're bringing to the table in a must-win game? Like, their offense with 8 minutes to go in last game sucked ass. It was embarrassing. Like, I don't know why that team changes. They dominate early. They're moving. Things are great. And then all of a sudden, the minute they start getting in their heads, it's like, everything's stationary. It's weird, man. They're a weird basketball team. And Golden State's like, thank you.
James Capers is 13th in the NBA in calling fouls. He's 13th in the NBA in calling fouls. 14.55 per 48 minutes. Fitzgerald's 15th, actually. So I see why these guys get to the over, though, Cam. I mean, they're sort of in the middle. But there's some other dudes that just don't call fouls, like this ref Richardson, 11 fouls per game only.
I like this guy. I like
the high end is Tony Brothers, 16.78 fouls per game.
He's the worst.
Tony Brothers? Yeah, he's a jerk.
He's a bad ref.
Yeah, we don't want to make too much of the referees here tonight, but I do believe that a league like the NBA that is driven by television, we all know they don't want quick series here.
No.
They want, I think they want this going into the weekend at least. All right, so listen, Coach Nick joined me and Joe Ranieri this morning. It's great stuff. B-ball breakdown. We talk about tonight's game. So we get Coach Nick's perspective, and then we'll run through the board, me and Cam, on the baseball game. Get into some basketball props. Big man on campus will join us. And more Coach Nick.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
So, guys, over at FanDuel, the Milwaukee Bucks are laying 2.5 points tonight at -110 on the road against the Toronto Raptors. Looking to close out this series, or at least give themselves a much better opportunity to close it out when they go home. They are minus, I believe, 152 on the money line and an over-under of 216. So, if you think the Bucks will close it out, well, the Raptors, they're plus 130 to force a game six. And will they be able to get it done at home tonight? Well, bottom line is no matter which side you lay here, there's an opportunity for you to profit. Put your money where your mouth is. Take a shot. Open up a sports wagering account with FanDuel, Jersey's largest sports book, by going to FanDuel.com/grid. You'll receive a free bet up to $500. That's a free bet up to $500 when you open a sports wagering account at FanDuel.com/grid. You can call into the show, of course, with that winning wager. Kind of walk us through what your mindset was. We'd always love to hear from you. Simply go to FanDuel.com/grid, open your new account, and claim that free wager of up to $500 today.
I'm actually a little bit surprised. I'm looking at the numbers over at FanDuel. The Milwaukee Bucks are -650 still to win this series. Pretty high. You get Raptors plus 430, Joe, for a team. You know, the Toronto Raptors aren't They're not just going to roll over. I think the Raptors are going to win this game tonight. Yet, you know, something's got to give. The Raptors, and the Raptors are a great home team. And they just, it's not pretty, but they find ways, just like they did against Philadelphia on that game seven. They found a way on Sunday night again, 7 days later again. Yet Milwaukee, we brought this up earlier, guys, an NBA best 21-1 coming off a loss this year straight up. 21-1. They only lost back-to-back games once. 18-4 against the spread. But you brought it up earlier. Giannis is getting a little bit frustrated. And Kawhi's killing him, essentially. I mean, Giannis is having a real problem with Kawhi Leonard at one end, and at the other end, Kawhi seems to be breaking his will a bit, Joe. When you're that athletic and you're that good, it's almost like a boxer that he's not used to this. Like, it's like, wow, normally I'd knock the guy out by now. Like the Greek freak, he's not himself in the paint. You can tell he's a little bit rattled. Kawhi is that good defensively. And say what you will about the Raptors. And yeah, Danny Green sucks shooting the ball right now with Van Fleet and stuff. But they are like lockdown vice-like defense that a lot of players in the NBA haven't seen defense like this before.
No. Well, and I don't trust Milwaukee, and I don't know where. I mean, it's all great what they did during the regular season, but this is going to be the most adversity they've faced all year long. What happens if Toronto comes out, smacks you, and you're down double digits again in the first 4 minutes?
Yeah.
What
happens? And the crowd's into it, and then Norman Powell even starts hitting shots off the bench.
Right.
Exactly.
What do you do then? I mean, I watched Giannis, the supposed MVP of this league, I watched him get real small. I watched him, yeah, it's great that he was getting rebounds, but I watched him pass up shot after shot, no confidence, didn't want nothing to do with it, was looking to pass it off. If that guy shows up again tonight, yeah, let's see how they react then. Let's see how what kind of minus 650 favorites they are once Giannis all of a sudden does have an everything go his way.
One of the better bets in this series actually has been Giannis' rebound props, Joe.
Yeah.
I've been nailing it. He made 23 rebounds the other night, but stay away from the points. But let's see, player rebounds tonight. It'll be, man, that's the problem with these freaking props, man.
Yeah, they adjusted.
Game one, Joe, 11.5. Hit it. Game two, 12.5. Hit it.
Yeah.
You had 23 in game three.
Yep.
Tonight, prop, 14.5.
There you go.
And it's one of these deals where he probably gets there. But if he gets to 14, it's a bad bet, Joe. You know what I mean?
Yep, exactly.
I've lost the value on this. Like I lost money on this last week. I'm not doing it. Where Kawhi Leonard's props were 31.5. It used to be 28.5. And they made it 31.5 on the road. He finished with 31.
No,
I knew it was a bad number. It was not a good number.
Yep. No shame in passing and realizing the value is it's not there anymore. And it seems to be his go-to thing. Like, if he's not scoring, he's going to get the he should. I mean, he's the most athletic dude on the court. He should be getting those rebounds. But they're not going to win because Giannis has got 23 rebounds. That's not why they're going to win. I mean, if he's got 23 rebounds and 12 points again, they lose this game.
And I wish I was there again tonight, but we can't be everywhere everywhere at once. As the, you know, the atmosphere and the, you know, the feeling in the series, the momentum, it can change in a hurry, Joe. As you stated, Raptors come out hot tonight. They win this game. Suddenly the pressure's on Milwaukee. You're the one seed. You're the ones that just had a 2-0 lead.
Yep.
Right? The pressure's not on Toronto now. Now the pressure becomes on Milwaukee. You know, all year long, the strength of Toronto Raptors basketball team was the bench. Now, the bench got a little bit depleted because they traded DeLon Wright, Jonas Valanciunas to the Memphis Grizzlies.
Right.
Pascal Siakam, Joe, was the star of the second unit.
Right.
He became a starter.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, suddenly the bench is, their bench sucks. Like, let's just be real. Like, the Raptors' bench is basically like, oh, God. Let's just hope for the best. Put Norman Powell out there, and if he hits a shot, he might be good. If not, sit him down. Van Fleet's terrible. Give him 3 minutes, and if he hits a shot, we'll leave him out there. But it's really hold your breath and hope for the best when you throw these guys out there. But it goes to show when they get 19 from Powell, you know, what it brings to the table. And some people wondering if the Raptors should tweak things a little bit and insert Powell into the lineup and go smaller. They've had success going smaller in this series. Let's bring in Coach Nick Bebaugh breakdown right now. Coach, me and Joe, it's always a pleasure, sir. Me and Joe are just talking about Raptors-Bucks tonight and how they approach this, how Milwaukee responds after the loss. They've been very good, and what adjustments the Raptors need to make moving forward here. Coach, what do you make of game four tonight, a pivotal game four?
Yeah, well, it was a great game three, although there was some real questionable stuff going on with the coaching on the Raptors side, and they still pulled it out. We need more Norman Powell. I said it after game two. I laid it all out for them, and they did it. That was great. We need, obviously, Kawhi Leonard guarding Giannis. It was a game changer and totally made Giannis a lot less aggressive, and it basically got him in his head. He was sort of just not a factor, and we need less Danny Green. I mean, anything we can do to get less Danny Green is good with me.
So what do you do, Coach? You need less Danny Green, but we also have a problem with Fred VanVleet.
Yeah.
So where do they go to guard position? I mean, they put Joe Meeks in for a couple of minutes. You know, can you play with one guard? How do you do this with Kyle Lowry? Like, if you're the Raptors, how do you approach this? Like, you've just got to pray that Green or VanVleet can give you something.
Right. Well, you know, Green isn't going to give you that lead guard play anyway. And so it is VanVleet. And he was okay. He hit a huge three, you know, so that was good. And so that's positive. So something is there. I wish I understood what was really wrong with him, because, man, is he a really good player. And he's been good in the, you know, a year ago he was great. So they're going to have to ride VanVleet, give him those probably 20 some minutes at least, you know, to give Lowry some rest. I want to see Ibaka in those lineups without Green. So if you can picture the starting lineup with Ibaka instead of Green, go big. I think I'm interested to see that lineup. I know when Ibaka and Gasol are in there, it's been a game changer for them as well. So
yeah, they take up a lot of room.
Let's try that.
All right, before I throw it over to Ranieri here, just lastly, you said, so there's been some question marks with Nick Nurse. You know, listen, he's a rookie coach. He's going through some growing pains. My issue with him has been a couple, well, the rotations are one thing, but there's been a couple of blowouts, Coach. There was one against Philadelphia, and he took the starters out, but he put them back in. And then the other night against Milwaukee, they're down by 22. They sort of battle. They get down by 12. No one in the room really ever thought they were coming back. If these guys are gassed, so I don't understand why he's played his starters so much and a couple of times when he hasn't had to. But what's been the biggest beef with you and Nurse that stuck out the most?
Okay, well, one thing was they were up by two with 37 seconds left in the regulation, and they didn't go for a 2-for-1. And part of the reason why they didn't is because they don't really have great out-of-bounds plays. And in my opinion, and it's a little bit radical, if you're in that situation, because what happened was they ran the clock down, burped up a terrible three by VanVleet that had to be hurried, and then the Bucks come down and just about win it on a three in transition, and then they ended up tying it. So that was the problem. There's another time when they had a timeout left in one of the overtimes, and the other team, the Bucks, hit a free throw, and there was like a discussion of whether or not to take a timeout versus like letting them go up the court to win the game, but there is no letting them go. The free throw was made. The defense is in position, it's a timeout, and yet there was like a 10, 12 seconds of like indecision before they did that. That's just weird and strange, and they need to clean that up.
Coach, let me ask you too. I mean, the Toronto's half-court defense has been just unbelievable. Yet I keep hearing this narrative. People keep telling me about how Milwaukee's had all of these amazing open look shots that they haven't hit. Am I missing something? Is Milwaukee getting that quality of a look here on their shooting, or is that being overblown?
I think it's overblown. Now, we've been charting the half-court offense of the Bucks all throughout the playoffs. They must have been really, really good in the Detroit series, because I've seen a number of games in the Sixers series in the second round and then in this round where they're just terrible. Their points per possession on their half court in game three was like 0.747, which is like all-time terrible. They are best in transition. They push the ball because when they run their half court five-out set, they're not generating great looks, and the Raptors are able to contain that with no problem. And with this addition or the adjustment of Kawhi guarding Giannis, it's really like they can't get anything going in the half court. Half of it is the defense, but the other half is just their offense. Just there's a lot of sort of standing around in stagnancy. You try and get it. Okay, now you try and go, and then I'll try and go. No off-ball screens. And it's a real problem at this level. In the regular season, no problem. They're a great half-court team, but not against the top of the top.
What do you think happens tonight, Coach?
Wow. I don't know.
You know, Milwaukee, just for the record, they're 21-1 off a loss this year.
The Bucks are? Yeah. I mean, it's a toss-up. I'd like to say the home team has the advantage. They're coming off a win, but, man, they kind of – nobody wanted to take control of that game, and everyone had a chance to just take it and didn't. I guess I'm going to go with the Raptors only because, like, just kind of wish this series would go a little bit longer because, obviously, this one goes to the Bucks. It's over. Probably is going to be over in game three. The Bucks had a couple of great chances. So I'm going to just go with the Raptors, but I'm not feeling great. I'll give them a 70% chance.
Coach Nick Debo.
Yeah, get the ball to Leonard more in the post. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they blew it once where they were putting, for some reason, they wouldn't put Middleton on him. I know he had five, but it was the end of the game with like 30 seconds left, and they were putting Brogdon on him. And then they would try and throw it in from Gasol on a bad angle. They couldn't get it in the low post. So if they can clean that up and then get it to him down there, for sure, he'll feast.
You know what's crazy? Is it's been a problem, and it was a problem going back to the Dwayne Casey days, and I remember you and I used to speak about Casey, Coach. Raptors out of timeouts. Always been a problem. Out of timeouts. It's been the same problem like under Nick Nurse this year as well, specifically in the playoffs too.
Yeah, they went to ISO Kawhi after that timeout they finally took after that free throw. And you'd think maybe they'd run a little pick and roll, get a switch, get a better advantage for Kawhi. They didn't do anything. And then Marc Gasol wanders up to the free throw line in his way where he would want to have gone. So, yeah, it's a mess. And I would think that, like, the first year coach, the out of timeout plays are the ones where he'd be so excited to get into and really design them up and have them run them. He's got a veteran team, but he's been less than stellar throughout the regular season anyway. And we just keep seeing more of the same in the playoffs.
Man, I even saw Kawhi Leonard turn it over out of a timeout. He threw it away. Like, it's uncanny. All right, we got to get out of here, Coach. Thanks for joining us on short notice. It's always a pleasure. We'll definitely speak before the NBA Finals.
You got it.
Thank you, Coach Nick, bballbreakdown.com. Thanks to Bob Nightingale, USA Today, for joining us. Joe and Harry, Miami, Florida. Good stuff, Joe. I think me and Joe are both on the Raptors tonight.
Yeah, man.
Raptors, been the first time they've been underdogs all year long. I'm not passing that up. Whether or not you're on your own, we'll see you at 4. May the winners be yours.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Thanks to Coach Nick for joining us. I just tweeted out a picture of Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg's aboard the Raptor bandwagon now, Cam. Welcome aboard, Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, we got Dabo Sweeney, and we got Snoop Dogg. I'm down
like
with it, Gabe. And I got breaking news.
We're starting to get some cool fans now. Dabo Sweeney.
Damn right. Yep,
Snoop Dogg, Snoop Dogg's. Snoop Dogg's decked out. He's got a Kawhi jersey. He's got the Toronto Raptor tracksuit on. He's in Toronto tonight. I guess he's going to be at the game. And he took a picture in front of the Kawhi Leonard. There's a big mural in downtown Toronto, Kawhi Leonard. And looks this a different one. I actually took a picture of it. I'll post it. It's way cool. It's on Queen Street. Somebody painted it on the wall of Kawhi in the shot. But I just retweeted it. Snoop Dogg. Pimping the Raptors right now. So he's worn Montreal Canadian gear before. He shakes it up a little bit, but he does. You said Dabo Sweeney too. So what's the breaking news?
49ers first round pick, second overall pick, Nick Bosa, hurt at OTAs today, pulled hammy. We know he missed some time in high school, Gabe, and a lot of time at Ohio State. They don't know the severity of the injury, and you know Jimmy Garoppolo's coming back, but who knows what's going to happen. Remember what happened with Reuben Foster. This isn't going to be obviously season ending, but not a good start. Hamstrings could be very delicate. So Nick Bosa, 49ers, first round pick, the second overall pick, hurt at OTAs today in San Francisco.
You know, we were talking about Nick Bosa and that social media stuff before. And, you know, I was talking to an NFL player. Slips my mind who it was right now. My bad. But he basically stated that, you know, NFL players, they're not really going to care about what Nick Bosa thinks or what he tweeted and stuff like that. But he also said, you know, we're also not going to care when maybe at the end of a pile that we fall on his knee or something.
Exactly. You know what I mean? And he's got to worry about black guys on his team respecting him. It's what Richard Sherman said. We don't care. Like, if you're going to be a good player and you bring it and you're not a problem in the locker room, cool. But the minute this idiot doesn't live up to expectations or do any of this stuff, it's going to be a big problem, Gabe, and they will turn on him. So, you know what I mean? If I was a black guy on the team, I wouldn't be comfortable with it. That's just me, though, knowing that you might be playing with a guy with views like that.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
The NFL, I mean, I think a lot of players have blacked out views, International Football League, but I don't know, maybe a little karma is going to catch up to Post at some point in time or another. Just a-